Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 261 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. In this episode, we reflect on the second test match where India beat England by 106 runs in Vizag on Monday to level that five-match series 1-1. Jasprit Bumrah and Yashasvi Jaiswal were the two key figures in India's victory over an England side that refused to give up till the very end, even as they dominated every single day of the test by Rohit Sharma-led India. Both sides have played richly entertaining cricket and the contest is finally poised as they take a break before the third test that gets underway on February 15th. Joining us again for the discussion, we have Lakshit Singhal. Lakshit is a lawyer by profession and a cricket writer and content creator by passion. He runs his cricket content platform by the name Cricket Field Chronicles, which covers unheard and lesser known cricket stories, classic and contemporary cricket book reviews and recommendations with personal reflections about the latest happenings from the cricketing world. He has been writing about sport for almost 10 years now and has been published by leading sports websites such as Sportskeeda. He also practices law and is interested in entrepreneurship and sports. He shares an equal passion for food and travel. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Lakshit. Welcome back to Never on the Back Foot podcast. As you know, we are in this experimentation phase of inviting a guest again in the consecutive episodes to, you know, have some continuity and flow to our discussion. Now, the first time we collaborated, of course, India lost that first test and, you know, there were so many questions being raised and you being the optimistic fan, you know, believed that India could make that comeback. So yeah, what are your first thoughts on India's comeback to level the series 1-1 and so much to look forward to, right?
Yes, first of all, Neha, thank you so much for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here. And as you rightly said, we discussed this last time. And to be back here on the podcast again, talking about a series which we started talking about in the last week or 10 days ago. So yeah, I think from that sense, quite a pleasure to be back here. Now, as you rightly said, I was optimistic about the India's chances in the second test. And I'm glad that they proved me right. I think amazing victory, good comeback overall. The performances this time much quite more, you can say, solid like in both the departments. Yes, there are still a lot of points to address, which I believe that the team management will be thinking about because now we have a 10-day break between the second and third test. But overall, I think it was a very good performance. Some really good performances came through across 4 days and a good test overall. But yeah, I think India has made a solid comeback. And being an optimist again, I will continue to have, I'll continue to keep having hopes from them going ahead in the series so that they can just maintain their record of being a very strong home side who are not an easy opposition to beat.
Definitely. And I think it was much needed respite even for the Indian fans and us as experts, right? Because seeing India go 1-0 down in a home series can definitely be a tough pill to swallow. But I think, you know, before we delve deeper into the match, perhaps the biggest talking point is how, you know, either Rajat Patidar or, you know, Sarfaraz Khan would be making their debuts. And we saw how the former got the opportunity. So what were your thoughts on him, you know, making that debut and finally his domestic performance is getting rewarded?
Yes, Neha, absolutely right. I think both Rajat and Sarfaraz, they have been exceptionally doing well in the domestic circuit. And it was glad to see both of them getting picked for this series. I think it's been a long time we have been talking about how performances in the domestic circuit in like Ranji Trophy or other domestic tournaments should be rewarded over, not over like, but as compared to someone who's coming from an IPL performance. So I think that was quite refreshing to see that the selectors and the management decided to reward these two youngsters for their continuous performances, I would like to say. Because I think both of them have been very exceptional throughout in the domestic circuit for last many years now. So yeah, I think it was really good to see both of them being selected. And of course, Rajat Patidar got an opportunity in this test because he was also, you can say, a part of the squad in the first test. So I think the obvious choice for the management was going ahead with Rajat, and giving him an opportunity so that just to like let him occupy that particular position of number four, I think, which is going to be now vacant for some more games. I think it's still initial days for him in international cricket. It was his first outing, just two innings there. So, showed some good signs, played some like decent shots. I think it's still very early to judge him on that, those two innings. But it was good to see him. And I really hope that Sarfaraz too gets a game or two in the series somewhere. Not for someone getting injured or something, but just I really feel that I think he deserves now. He has been waiting for that opportunity for far too long, and I think he really needs to be in that playing 11. So hoping that he also gets a game soon. But yeah, let's see how what the future holds for both of them.
That's actually a valid point, because both of them were deserving candidates, and to see, you know, at least one of them get that debut was certainly the icing on the cake. And reflecting on another major achiever from this game has to be Yashasvi Jaiswal, right? Man is just playing his sixth test match, becomes the third youngest Indian to, you know, hit that double century. And I think it was Jaiswal's double turn, right, that kind of helped India post a massive total of 396 in that first innings. And, you know, because the second highest run getter was just Shubman Gill with 35 runs. So what did you make of Jaiswal's knock in the context of India's first innings? And brilliant to see the man, you know, score runs for fun here.
Absolutely, Neha. I think you have rightly said that. I think it was an incredible innings to begin with. Just coming in his just sixth test, it was one of the finest knocks you will see. I'm sure there are many more to come. But I think the overall composure that he showed, the way he played his shots fearlessly, there was no, you can say, hesitancy while he was playing his shots, whatever he has decided or whatever he was trying to play. So I think, yeah, the overall conclusion which I came after seeing his innings was that he was very clear-headed in his mind. He knew that which bowler to target, what is the type of shot that he wanted to play. He knew his strengths, he knew his weaknesses. He was just trying to play. And moreover, I think this time what was different was that he also wanted to stay at the wicket. That is something which I have been, like I mentioned it in the last podcast as well, and I will repeat it here, that I think the youngsters who are coming in should like really focus on spending more time on the wicket. I think that will give them a good opportunity to just see where they are going from there, how they should be pacing their innings, how different sessions play out, how different days play out. So the more amount of time they spend on the wicket, that is going to really help them. And I think that is the reason Jaiswal also, that is where exactly he focused on. So, and he got good results from that as well. And a crucial point you mentioned, that I think, yes, it was his turn that set the tone for India in this particular test. That innings, in the first innings, that helped India post 396, I think that is the moment where India really took charge of the game. Not that the bowlers didn't do well in the first inning, but I think when you put up a total close to around 400 in the first innings, that's somewhere you get a good, you can say, momentum going ahead in the game. And that is exactly what Jaiswal helped India do that, because, again, I think you said again that Shubman Gill was the second highest scorer with just 35 runs. So that is a major area for the team to address. But if we talk about Jaiswal, definitely very crucial innings, impactful innings, not only for this game, for the series as well, because that now it has opened a plethora of options for both the teams. So crucial innings, very impactful innings. And again, I think it was a treat to watch as a viewer as well, the type of shots he plays. So yeah, overall very impressed, and I will be really looking forward to more of such innings from him in this series and in the future.
Definitely, because he is a prospect for India, you know, going ahead as well. And watching Jaiswal in full flow is definitely a sight to behold, because right now, even though, you know, the Indian batting has a lot of stalwarts and, you know, recognized names, you know, it still lacks some teeth. Because, you know, you don't have the likes of Virat Kohli, who is kind of a very critical component in that batting lineup. So it's great to see youngsters, you know, kind of step up and, you know, push the accelerator, score those big runs. But even when you look at England's bowling in that first innings, it was quite tight, right? You had Jimmy Anderson, Bashir and Ahmed kind of pick those three crucial wickets and, make that impact statement ki, hey, we're just not here to let you take those easy runs, but we will compete with you in your conditions. So was that a refreshing sight to see?
It was, yeah, it was absolutely, you can say, it was quite good to see, I think, England step up. This is something which I have come to appreciate of them, not only whenever they're playing at home, but also when they are touring outside now. I think the whole basketball thing really overshadows this thing. But I think it's really commendable to see the way they never gave up on the game. Always try to hold up to whatever situations they can, and the way they build up their squad, obviously they come up with clear plans, but I think Stokes as a leader, I found him really, you can say, quite spontaneous as well. He knows to make those bowling changes, those fielding changes, to set a field for a particular batter. The whole setup they try to do in getting a batter out. So yeah, from that point of view, I think England bowling, not only just in the first innings, but in the second innings as well. I think it has been, it was quite good to see it. They put up a very good show, a good fight. Not something, I think they have established that they can't be taking very lightly. This is not a series which they will be willing to give away easily. So yeah, I think it's always a good sight to see two, like it is always a good sight to see two sides coming up with great performances. So, yeah.
Definitely. And even, looking at England's batting, in that first innings, I think they did not have the best of the outings because none of the batters could quite convert those starts, barring Zach Crawley, who scored that counter-attacking knock. So what were your reflections from England's first innings, and did they lack something there?
I think England's first innings, Neha, can be summarized very easily for me. I think it was Bumrah who just took control of that particular moment or day. I think it was too good for the England team. The way he set up, the whole setup began from Root. The way he set him up and then Bairstow. And I think the way he bowled Ollie Pop, we have been talking about it, we have been raving about it. Incredible skill, incredible bowler. I think England's first innings, I just cannot think of anything apart from Bumrah. He was just too good for them. So yeah, I think they tried to they came up with a certain plan, but I think Bumrah was just there to stop them from doing anything they had planned. The way they guided, that just he just derailed them from all their plans, and England could just never recover from that mentally as well. I felt because see, when you come up with a certain plan and you have been trying to implement it, and then when you're not able to do it, and it just keeps playing on your mind. I think that was a moment. Apart from Jaiswal's 200 in the first innings, I think it was Bumrah's bowling in the first innings, which also I think these two combined gave us a good momentum in this match. Or I would just say that these were the two main factors that led us to win this match rather. So, yeah, I think good, you can say individual performances, like you can say starts the England batters got. But yeah, kudos to Bumrah. And I can't just go, I can go and like keep going on talking about him. But it was all him in the England's first innings.
I completely agree with you on that one because I think Bumrah has shown that, he's not someone who can be passed off as just a limited overs specialist in Indian conditions. He's, one of those rare pacers we have at the moment in our, game who can master reverse swing with that old SG ball. He took those six crucial wickets, which is, also his best bowling figures at home. Man has reached 150 test wickets, in just what, 34 games. He's also, your top ranked ICC bowler. So I think using the word remarkable would be, an understatement to the kind of impact that bowling performance had. And rightly said, he has been a crucial cog in that bowling lineup and, pretty much derailed England's plans of any sort of comeback. And even, let's talk about, Shubman Gill. Now, he finally ended his drought of, 12 test innings by scoring that first 50-plus score. And he made it even special by converting it to 100 in that second innings where India went to 255 and every other batter kind of, struggled against those English bowlers. So, yeah, do you think, again, it was silencing his critics in style and doing it the Shubman Gill way?
Yes, Neha, I think Shubman Gill, we have been like saying, and as I said again in my earlier podcast as well, I think Shubman Gill has to be given time for this particular series at least before we come up to a decision on him. So that is the rope he deserves. That is the type of player he is. That is the amount of skill he holds. And he definitely showed it in that particular innings as well, where he scored a century. So I think, yeah, definitely he was, you can say, much more focused, much more, you can say, adaptive of the conditions, the type of shots he played in that innings. Yeah, I think he has he did made a good comeback in the second innings. But again, I think the point which I would like to stress upon is that considering the position that he's batting on, it's a very crucial one in the context of a test match. At the number three position, I still believe, or I can say that I hope of him to be, you can say, much more, you can say, temperamental on that position, because that position demands a lot of staying on the wicket, playing out the balls, make the ball hold for the number four, number five coming in. So I think that is still something which I expect of him, or I hope that he focuses on while maintaining his authenticity or the type of game he plays. So yeah, I think a good comeback, a good century, a good innings, but I think a long way to go in his test career, or in the basically yeah, in his test career. And this series, I think, again, I've said this before, I'll say it again, is going to be a make or break for him. And I really hope that he comes out victorious out of this after at the end of this series. So yeah, let's see what Shubman Gill has for us in the rest three games.
Definitely. I think, if he can keep up this consistency for the rest of the series, he's going to be untouched in this format. And, fingers crossed that he can make the most of, the opportunities and the long rope that the team management will give him. And even talking about Jimmy Anderson, right? Now, man at 41 has clearly shown us that age is just a number because he picked up 5 wickets in the match, contributed well with the new and the old ball, something he's already known for. And I think, particularly, looking at that morning of the third day in the test match, he showed his skills, right? With that new ball, he got both the Indian openers, Jaiswal and Rohit Sharma, out with brilliant outswingers, right? So at this rate, do you think Jimmy Anderson is just going to play forever and conditions mean nothing to him because he will continue to deliver, right?
Yeah, Nancy, as a fast bowling lover, or as a bowling optimist, I would really love for him to continue playing for as long as he can. But again, I think age will catch up to him at some time. But that said, I think at 41, what he's doing is, it's remarkable. It's unimaginable for me. The amount of skill that person possesses is just mind-boggling. I think coming to India, this is it's not an easy ground for fast bowlers. The talk always is about spinners. The talk is always about the how much the pitches are going to spin, how much the pitches are going to turn. And when you have someone like an Anderson coming here and doing what he did in that second test, I think you mentioned both the dismissals of Jaiswal and Rohit. So I think yeah, he leaves me speechless most of the times whenever I see him bowl. The amount of control he possesses, with him, even if he's not getting you wickets, he will be someone who will not be leaking runs, because he has that much amount of control over his bowling, that he will give you that quick overs. He will give you overs without giving away or leaking runs. So I think he's an asset to the England team, and kudos to them for using him also very well. We'll be really looking forward to him, how he does well in the upcoming games, especially I think in the fifth test in Dharamshala, because that is a ground he will be looking forward to bowl at. So yeah, I think always a pleasure to watch, I think, Anderson bowl. let's see. I just hope that he doesn't do much damage to us in the like to damage to us in the upcoming games. But yeah, man, incredible, I think, bowler and amazing. That was too good to watch him bowl.
Agreed. And I think that's why, we really need to give due credit to Ben Stokes, right? The way he navigated him and used him in those right phases of the match is definitely, noteworthy. And Ben Stokes himself might have not contributed much with the bat, but then I think he's brilliant with the kind of field changes and bowling rotation that he brought in. Because we saw, right, there were phases where nothing was happening in the game and you just make that field change or, pull in a brilliant dive in the outfield to, lift that whole team's morale and spirit. And I think you're also, putting focus on Ben Stokes's catch to, get Shreyas Iyer out, especially that second innings was one such moment, right? That kind of really lifted the English team, and we could see how there was like a slight momentum shift there. That was impressive, right? Nonetheless.
Absolutely, Neha. I think with Ben Stokes, you can never keep him out of the game. He's that sort of a player, either with the bat or bowl or in the field. And now as a skipper, I think he has been doing amazingly well for the team. He and McLean together have totally revolutionized the culture of this English team. And so yeah, I think it's difficult to keep him out of the game. And whatever he does there, he does it with so much impact that it's just amazing to watch him on the field. And yeah, I think with the bat, he hasn't been. You can say that fluent as the team expects him to be. But still, I would believe, like to believe that he's much more than that, the overall impact that he's having on the game. And again, there have been a few innings where he has contributed with the bat as well. And because I think the position that he plays at, and also considering the role that he has in the team. So most of the times you'll see him batting with the tail and taking his team to you can say scores which they also might not anticipate. So I think he has a different sort of a role in this team, which I think they are also clear about, and they don't want to stress on him that much. So maybe that's why you can say that he is doing his part, and maybe also or could be that he is just one innings away from that one big score as well. So, but yeah, I think again that said, he's much more than that. The overall impact that he's already having on this series, it's amazing. So yeah, I think totally impressive, and again, great. I think great athlete.
Certainly, because Ben Stokes is that sort of a clutch player, and we see him, right, deliver with those remarkable knocks or spells that kind of just leaves a spellbound. And how's this man doing it with, this kind of consistency? And every single time someone, pushes him to the wall. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see how he fares the rest of the series. And looking at his counterpart, we have the Indian skipper, Rohit Sharma. Now, his failure with the bat in, both the innings was a major setback, right? Now, in the first innings, he was out, trying to be all defensive, and the second he was trying to show that intent and set the template. And even looking at the statistics, for the last 8 innings, he's not been able to quite convert his starts right into those big innings. And as a skipper, he must kind of lead by example if India are to get ahead in the series, because they're already missing key batters. Now, is this starting to get very concerning? And do you think the outside chatter at some point will catch up with Rohit Sharma?
It is concerning, Neha, definitely. I think Rohit hit someone. We need him, like, again, like that the position that he bats at is very crucial, and he hasn't been having a good run, as you rightly said. So it is a concerning situation for the Indian team, and I'm sure the management is also looking into this. I think, yeah, I think it's time for him also to just convert those scores or convert those starts into good scores or big scores, so that I think the team also can rely on him, and team also can the lower order basically can focus on taking us to a score which becomes much more, you can say, defendable, or a score which is winnable for that team. Because if we look at the performances in both the tests, we lost the first one. Yeah, we won the second one, but I think again in the second one it was some remarkable performances from a few players, I can say there. Not everyone chipped in equally. So there is, I think that is where the whole issue lies. And with Rohit at the top, especially being the captain, expectations are always high. So yeah, I think it is concerning. It is disappointing the way he has been getting out, not able to convert those scores or performances into big ones. And yes, at some point, I think the management will start looking into this for answers.
And a quick follow-up question to this as well. Now, if you know Rohit Sharma's string of performances continue to be this poor, who do you think are some of the alternatives they'd want to look at as, you know, test skipper? Because we've had, you know, the likes of Bumrah lead the team in the past. And, you know, do you think the team management will actually consider alternatives like that? Or are we going to still stick to our batters-only skippers?
I think, Neha, you have answered that. I think Bumrah is the right choice for that position. I think the days are gone where the batters only could take those leadership positions or be captains. Pat Cummins, I think, is completely busting that myth, notion, whatever you can call it. The way that guy has been leading Australia in the last year or so, I think that should completely silence the critics of whoever has been, you can say, promoting this whole notion or the myth of batters, only batters being in a position of captaincy. So I think Bumrah is someone we should be looking at as our next test skipper. I think apart from the whole injury or the, you can say, the risk management part of it, because considering the amount of cricket he plays or being an all-rounder cricketer in the Indian setup, it's not an easy job. So I think apart from that particular factor, there is nothing which shows that he shouldn't be leading the team. I am in total support, or I would really like to see Bumrah leading the Indian team. I think the time is right. And so, yeah, for me, I think it's Bumrah who has to be the next test skipper for us.
Definitely, because it's not like the other players are inspiring a lot of confidence, right? Because let's talk about Shreyas Iyer. Now, again, his poor form could, you know, put his place in the team at stake, because the batter has not scored a single test 50 in almost 13 innings. And, you know, time is again running out for him. Again, is this a concerning sign, or, you know, just he needs to still figure out his weaknesses, not play those unnecessary shots and just throw away his wicket?
Absolutely, Neha. I think with Iyer, the same problem which is happening for a very long time. I think the bouncer issue, it comes to haunt him at some point. The England team knew, they did the same with him in the first test match, where even Joe Root tried to bounce him. I think that becomes sometimes embarrassing for the batter as well. And the whole world is watching you and they know your weaknesses and you haven't been able to figure it out for a very long time. So I think that also somewhere plays on his mind. Apart from that, his short selection, not only this test series, but before that as well, also I think short selections have been poor. Thus, he hasn't been aware of the match situations at the time he's coming in. What is the role he needs to play? I think these are the sort of questions he needs to answer. The management needs to sit with him, just have a talk with him. To have that match awareness is very crucial, especially when you're playing at that level. And Iyer has somewhere, I think, lagged or haven't been able to demonstrate that. If you see in the last two tests as well, because the position he comes in, he needs to show that awareness just to know that how he needs to take the match forward from here on, and that he hasn't been able to do that. So I think a lot of questions I think remain for a year. And again, I think he's another batter, you can say, for whom this series is going to be crucial. He really needs to find answers, because there are a lot of people who are waiting in line, and it's just a matter of time. I think if he just doesn't get into the streak, it's going to be difficult for the team to continue with him, I guess.
That's actually true, because the more failures he has, you know, the team management may not be able to justify reasons to, you know, continue persisting with him. And you have so many, we have an abundance of options, right? So yeah, times clearly seems to be running out, and here's hoping, you know, the long rope that the management has again extended to him comes in handy. And also, India won the test match. You know, we choose to focus on these points of, you know, we're trying to critique the test match, because although India has won, still, you know, brings up some pointers of concern, and probably, you know, even looking at the Indian bowling combination, right? Perhaps it was not up to the mark for the test, because Mukesh Kumar is not impressive at all. You know, he did pick his first wicket, that was of Shoaib Bashir in that second innings, And even at a time, right, when the opposition was playing with four spinners in the side, India could have perhaps gone in like with Washington Sundar, who could have, you know, given that extra option with the ball, because, you know, you have the English left-handers who kind of struggle, right, against spin. So do you think he could have also offered that much needed resistance to India's batting, especially the middle order, and he could have been the difference between the two sides?
I think Neha, first of all, if we talk about, I think Mukesh, I failed to understand why Siraj was left out, considering he bowled only 7 overs in the first test. So I think that was quite perplexing for me. I didn't understand the whole reason behind it, and what was the team's thinking behind that. That really came as a surprise to me. Now coming to Mukesh, yeah, he lacked that, you can say, fire, or he wasn't able to put his skill properly to use. But again, I think he is quite, it's quite early for him to still, and he will, I think, yeah, will, I think he still needs to be given time before we come at a conclusion on him. So from that point of view, I think yes, Mukesh. But again, from what I've been hearing is that Siraj is making a comeback in the next test. So, most probably it will be Mukesh who will be missing out. So, yeah, I think quite unfortunate with him as well, because unless you get a good 4-5 match streak, it's difficult for you, I think, as a player to totally assert yourself on the opposition or totally make an impact in the game. So, yeah, quite unfortunate for him as well there on that point. So, and coming to Washington Sundar, yeah, I think we could have added some more batting in our lineup. But considering, see, again, my view on this is very simple. If you're going with whatever batters you have, those batters need to contribute. We can have a 7 or a number 8 batting for us. Definitely, we have the liberty, or we have, say, luxury of that option. But considering batters we have, if they are not delivering, having an additional batter in a side won't be that helpful. So I think the first priority should be the person or the people who are in the team. I think they should take responsibility first, start getting runs, start contributing as a team. Don't wait for individual performances or individual person to stand up for you. And I think when that starts to happen, this whole mindset of having an extra batter or an extra bowler for that matter will automatically disappear, because this thought somewhere gets you on the defensive, that you're not confident about the people you are picking. So, and it's not about the particular bowler or a batter or an all-rounder. I think it's about the mindset that team is going in. You can look at England for that matter. England went with just a single pacer, and they have been very clear in their approach, even if they have lost. So I think that is something you need to be clear about, confident of your team, confident of the players you are picking in. And I think the results will automatically follow. You need to just back that approach for, I think, a sustainable period of time.
Most certainly. And, you know, let's see how this plays out, because, you know, news just comes in that Siraj might be available for selection, you know, in the next test, and Bumrah might take rest. Virat Kohli's not there. Again, you know, a lot of variables that are kind of playing out here. And even talking about the English team now, they have left India, right? Because there's like a huge 10-day break before the third test starts on 15th Feb. And, you know, they're all going to be staying in Abu Dhabi, where they kind of had that pre-India tour camp with their families, play some golf and just get some time off. Now, this has again come under the scanner. A lot of fans feel, you know, this is probably not the right thing to do. And, you know, they lost the test match, so they should be more serious. Like, what are your 2 cents on the same? Like, somewhere, you know, we'll have to draw the line between commenting on their personal lives and the choices they make.
Absolutely, Neha. See, Neha, my view on this is very simple. When you're playing a 5-test series, it's a long time. It's a long series. I think it's something which is mentally draining. It's very rightful for any team or any player to just take a break. Considering, I think, the amount of cricket these cricketers play these days. I still remember we had a bilateral series just 3 days after the World Cup ended. And from then, I think it has been just continuous cricket exposure to these guys. And same is not, it's not just about India. I think it's about every team in the world. So I think the amount of cricket that these guys are playing, I think it's very rightful for them just to just take a break and to mentally regroup and to just reassess as a, you can say, unit as well. So I don't feel anything wrong with that. I think it's very justifiable. Very few teams, I think, today are playing a five test series as well. So, and if we need to keep, like, if we need to keep, like, have keep this happening for a longer period of time, I think these breaks will some where become, you can say, unnecessary, because it's not going to be easy to play a 5-day series on a, you can say, without any break or on a continuous basis. So, yeah, I'm totally, I think it's justifiable for them to take a break. Just a regroup as a team and come back stronger. And yeah, I think that's totally fine with me.
Fair enough. And even, you know, looking at India's squad now for the last three tests against England, it's probably going to be announced today or tomorrow or something. And again, you know, a lot of eyes on Virat Kohli's availability. We get the, you know, update that he may not be featuring in that third test because of a family emergency. And again, fans, you know, are getting intrusive. They want to know what is happening. And perhaps, you know, even Jasprit Bumrah might get rested with, you know, Siraj coming back. So again, a lot of changes happening here and there. And, you know, like, again, what are your thoughts on everything that is transpiring? Like, as fans, do we deserve that sense of transparency from our players as to why they're not playing? And, you know, this probing business is quite unnecessary.
So on Bumrah, near my view is quite simple here. If the objective is of workload management, then I believe that we can play him in the next game and rest him for the fourth game. The reason being that I think next game, obviously every game is crucial, but I think next game, if we are able to have his services and are able to get a good lead of 2-1 by winning that game, that will put us in a good situation. And I think, and already we are having a 10-day break between the last test and the upcoming test. So I think from that point of view only, I believe that Bumrah can be played in the next game and he can be then rested in the fourth and probably come back for the test at Dharamshala. So yeah, with Bumrah, that's my view. Now coming to the whole probing business, I think you are absolutely right. It has become a culture sort of thing, and in India more so, because the connect between the fans and the game, it's so deep, it's so deep rooted in fact, that as fans we really just want to know everything happening in the lives of our cricketers. And this is not anyone or someone, this is Virat Kohli, the Virat Kohli we're talking about. He just loved and admired so much. But that said, I strongly believe that his personal space should be respected. His whole stand of not letting anyone invade his privacy should be respected. I think he will himself at some point, whenever he feels right, will share the reasons or the news for him not being present, because he is not the one to miss out on an international test series like this. So he will have his reasons. We should just let him be. And yeah, I think that is the way to go about it. There is no end to this probing business. And definitely, I think we should be condemning this and just try to let the players be in their personal space as much as possible.
Definitely. And I think even as fans, you know, it's not like we are owed by these cricketers, you know, to have that level of transparency that they have to tell us every single detail. But somewhere, I think the speculation really has to stop, you know, so we can actually respect the privacy of our cricketers. And looking at another important aspect now, again, when it comes to the wicketkeeper conundrum that India has. Now, of course, you have Dhruv Jurel and Sarfraz Khan who have been included in that squad. But with Bharat, you know, again, there's this sense of security that many fans don't really feel. Again, with, you know, Ishan Kishan kind of missing the bus, you know, for this series. So again, do you think these are like things we really need to look deeper into? And is India missing Ishan Kishan? Because he took a break, right? Because of mental fatigue and everything that was happening. Again, we read so many reports of, you know, his behavior coming under the scanner and him having to go through different levels, you know, make his comeback to that team. So do you again read into all of this very deeply?
Oh, definitely, Neha. I think wicketkeeper is a strong, or I should say, a big problem for us. It has been for quite some time now. I think, especially after Pant's absence in the team, With regards to Kishan, I think there have been a lot of rumors, a lot of reports going around. So I just really don't know what's true and what's not. So it's very difficult for me to comment on that. Why he's absent, why he's not part of the Indian setup right now, what are the reasons for that? There is absolutely no certainty on the reasons or the answers availability there. So I don't know how to comment on that. But I think, yeah, wicket keeper issue is the big one for us. Bharat, from whatever I have been watching him and following him, he hasn't been able to impress that much. Again, I would just like to assess him from two different points: one is his wicket keeping, another is batting. And in both departments, I guess he hasn't been able to live up to his potential. And again, he has been given a good amount of you can say opportunities there to show his potential, to show what he has in store for us, but he hasn't been able to do that. Wicket keeping, I think, especially is important for me if I look at it that way. He hasn't been on the top of his game. The wicket keeping, I would just like to say, it has been ordinary. Nothing exceptional coming out of there from Bharat. And with regards to batting as well, I think he just hasn't been able to grasp the opportunity. Most of the times he will start getting into the groove and then just throw his wicket away on a poor shot, or just not able to grasp the match situation and just not able to assess the conditions. So yeah, I think wicket keeper is a big issue for us. We need answers for that. And I think as you rightly said, we have Dhruv, Jhireel and Sarfaraz in the mix up as well right now. But I think again, I think this is something which will play over a period of time, considering we don't know when both of these will be getting an opportunity and how long the management is planning to continue with Bharat. So these are the answers. I think the questions are many right now, the answers are less. But yeah, I think a big issue, and we really need answers for this because we don't yet know when Pant will be back. So yeah. Need answers for this particular problem soon if we really want to go basically win more matches and series.
Definitely. And we will keep our eyes peeled to see how this kind of transpires, right? Because this conundrum cannot continue for long, because India will play a lot of more important test matches as this World Test Championship cycle kind of progresses. So yeah, let's look forward to that. And also, reflecting on this aspect now, and you look at Tom Hartley, he was brilliant, right? Game changer in that Hyderabad test, played well in Vizag as well, picking up 4 wickets in the second innings, got India all out for 255, again came back with the bat, chipped in with that 55, 8th wicket partnership with Ben Folkes and everything. That kind of even threatened India, right? Before, he eventually ran out of partners and he did get to that score of 36. So again, clinical showing from this, from this young man who has been making the right noises.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned it in my last podcast as well. I mentioned, I think Hartley has a big heart and he showed a lot of courage in the first game. And I think with every, you can say, ball, he is growing. There are signs of improvement. Maybe not getting those amount of wickets, or maybe not getting again a 6 wicket haul or a 7 wicket haul as he got in the first game. But I think there were signs of him improving the way he bowled in both the innings. So, yeah, obviously. There was a lot of growth, and as you rightly said, in the batting department as well, the way he has been showing a lot of resistance and not throwing his wicket away, valuing his wicket, I think that shows the intent. I think that is basketball for me, to just not give away the game at any point of time, to have that belief that we will capture the game from this point as well, and we will not let it slip away. I think that is the whole basketball approach for me, and which England has shown here. So yeah, Hartley, definitely. I think interesting prospect, definitely interesting. All from whatever we have seen him play, and I think he can be a key member for the England side in the games ahead. I really believe that. I think he will have an important role to play in the upcoming games. The way he has been improving with every game. So looking forward to Tom Hartley.
Most certainly. And I think, another key aspect under discussion has to be how England's batters, right? They failed through the match and, they were not able to convert their starts. So do you think that can be the reason that we can attribute to their downfall in this game? Because often we've seen how English and like, even Aussie batters to some extent have their struggles, right? In subcontinent conditions and pitches. So like we have some of our players, go and play county cricket. So do you think, we can have some of their players come and play these Ranji matches, have more A2s, exhibition matches. So, you can have more fairly contested encounters.
Good point, Neha. I really want teams to again start playing practice games or have tour games like they used to in the past. I think that really helps the touring teams in adapting to the foreign conditions and also to adapt to the type of pitches they are going to play at. This is a culture, this is a practice which we have been losing to in the recent times due to the cramped calendar that we have built for our cricketers. And that and the result of that shows in the performances of the players or the teams who are mostly visiting. So definitely, I think I would really like that culture or practice to come back. I think just it enhances the overall quality of the games that as fans or as the cricket fanatics we really like to see. So would like to watch that, but I'm not sure how and why when is going that going to happen. Yeah, so that is the first aspect. And talking about the other England batters, yes, definitely, they haven't been at the top of the game, and this is despite the pitches not spinning as much I think everybody expected them to be. The talk always is about whenever England or Australia tours is about the pitches. The media just starts talking about how the ball is going to spin from day one, etc., and all those talks start coming in, but to the surprise, I think, of everyone, the pitches haven't spun that much, which everybody expected it to be. And despite that, I think the England batters haven't been able to demonstrate some that level of quality which they can or they have in their lineup. So I think, yeah, they have a lot to figure out. They, I think, again, I think they have been getting good starts. They have been getting some initial scores of 20, 30s, but haven't been able to convert them into big scores. So that is something they need to think about how they can do it. And yeah, I think more, I'll look forward to them how they're able to do that. And if they're able to do that, I think India will have a lot of challenge in the coming games because their bowling, England bowling has been good in both the games. So it's the batting which has let them down. So in the upcoming games, if England somehow manages to figure that out, so I think India is going to have a hard time. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Oh yes, absolutely. And what are your expectations from the next test match? Because the series, seems evenly poised, one all, and you still have three test matches left. I think that's the beauty of a five-match test series that it can go either way. And right now, India seems to have that advantage. And do you see them go all the way and win the next test match and eventually the series?
I would love to, Neha, definitely. I think that is something, as I said in again previously and before, I'm an optimist. I really believe in this team. I really hope for them to win, which they did in the second test as well. So I really will continue believing in that and hoping for the team to win. But that said, I think England is a team which cannot be taken lightly, that they have proved in their initial two tests. The way they have performed in them. So that I think is a crucial factor again. I think and with the whole baseball attitude and the mindset, I think it's become quite difficult to predict or basically have assumptions about how or the type of cricket England is going to play on that particular day. So I think I want them. I want India to win, but I think it's going to be a hard time. England is not in a position to be taken lightly, and they will try to bounce back in the next game. But I still believe we have an upper hand. The way we played in the second test has given a lot of hopes. Selection remains a crucial point for us in the upcoming game because, considering whatever we have talked about as well, and a lot of players who are in a dilemma right now. So I think that picture will get cleared in a few days. But selection remains a crucial factor for us. The lineup which we go with, I think that is going to be crucial. So yeah, backing again my team, backing India to go ahead and win the test. But yeah, I think England will not make it easy for India, and I think we will have another cracker on our head.
Oh yes, definitely. And here's hoping, the rest of the series also kind of pans out the way, we've been talking about it as much. And yeah, that pretty much does conclude our discussion, Lakshit. Thank you so much for, joining me on this discussion again, and looking forward to having more of such discussions as the series kind of unfolds as well. And yeah, until our next conversation, take care and talk to you real soon. Bye.
Thank you so much, Neha.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads and @NeverInTheBackFoot on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Never on the Back Foot is also on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe to the channel and stay tuned for a lot of insightful content coming your way. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.